Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
With the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia early this year, President Obama named Merrick Garland as his choice for the Supreme Court. GOP leadership in the U.S. Senate has been adamant that the next president should name Scalia's replacement, not the sitting president. Thus far, they have stood strong against the Democrat push to vote on Garland, but is something planned for the lame duck session? During this program, we're going to also get an update on the politically motivated suspension of Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore. My guest today is Philip Jaregi. He's the president of the Judicial Action Group. Thanks for being with us, Philip.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Diane.
And you're probably not experiencing cold weather down there yet, huh?
Well, we're not. It's supposed to get cold this weekend, though, I hear.
Probably
more so for you.
Cold, like what is, what's your definition of cold?
Yeah, cold for us is getting into the 50s, I guess. So,
oh, yeah.
We'll see.
That's not
we'll
cold.
See.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the Judicial Action Group? We'll just start out with that.
We have been around for 10 years now, and we started, you remember back in the 2000s, there was a lot going on with judicial activism in the House, then Majority Leader Tom DeLay and others. There was a big push to address the problem of judges making law or judges purporting to legislate from the bench, and so we formed out of that experience, and because there were a lot of groups that were working on this, but there wasn't a group that was working on it all the time and working on just this issue. And so that was the touch point for us to get involved. And we've sort of changed a little bit over the decade as to items that we've worked on. But the primary thing that we work on now are that we research every federal judicial nominee. And then, obviously, those that are problematic, we write up reports on those. We give those reports to senators who have the decision of whether to confirm or reject a nominee. And we also share those reports with conservative groups like yours and others, and who then in turn share them with their constituents. And it's a nice effort to really deal with this problem of judiciary.
Yeah, that was a
long answer, but I hope that was an answer.
No, that's fine. And I know I really appreciate getting those reports from you, because you know where to look for the information, and you know what you're looking for as far as that goes. I mean, I can read somebody, you know, I can read what you said, and it helps a whole lot.
And it's sort of nice teamwork, because groups like yours are working on certain issues and may not want to put somebody on doing research like this all the time, and so we don't need 10 groups having, you know, designating a person to redo every bit of work. It's nice that my group does this, and then we get to share it with friends and allies, and kind of works out.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it. You know, it's disconcerting to me that some, in not only Washington, D.C., but some of the pundits and even some American citizens don't realize that the Senate, one of the responsibilities in the Constitution is advice and consent when it comes to judicial nominees, or actually all the president's nominees. Democrats are acting as if, well, you know, President Obama named this man to replace Antonin Scalia, and the Senate must vote on it. The Senate must, basically, they want him to be confirmed. But that's not what the Constitution says.
That's right. And you'll even hear somebody, and I've had to catch myself a time or two, Diane, as well, using the term appointment when referring to the president's power. But you'll hear people say, well, President Obama appointed Garland. Well, no, he didn't.
No.
The Constitution, an appointment is very different from a nomination. An appointment is where the president has all the power to just put somebody in a position.
Right.
And that's one type of power, but this is the advice and consent, where the president has the ability to nominate, but then the Senate has the authority to confirm, which is to reject or confirm someone. And so essentially what the Senate has said about this nominee, Garland, is they've rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they haven't given him a floor vote. They haven't given him a hearing, but they've done the same thing, which is to say, no, we're not going to consent to this nominee. And whether we do it on the floor or in committee or before committee by just telling you, we're not going to do this, they've performed their role. Now, it's not to the satisfaction of President Obama and liberals, but they've certainly performed their role, which is to provide advice and consent.
Right, exactly. Yeah, President Obama wants the opportunity to name his third Supreme Court justice, which would be tragic is an understatement. You know, use that word to describe what would happen. Now, in September, The Senate passed a continuing resolution which only funds the government through December 9th, I believe it is, in essence creating a lame duck session, creating the necessity for them to come back and vote on, you know, more money for the government. Do you think that the Republicans would even consider bringing Merrick Garland's name up for a vote if Donald Trump does not win the election in November? I know you can't get into their heads, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think that would happen for a number of reasons. You would have to have, I think you'd have to have President Obama, the current Senate, and probably even the new mm-hmm. president-elect. Under your scenario, you're saying Donald Trump loses the election through
right.
President Clinton. You'd have to have them sort of all on the same page. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but let's say Republicans wanted to do that. Okay, let's suppose Republicans thought, well, Clinton's getting in. Republicans, under the worst-case scenario, or conservatives have lost the majority of the Senate, and so they're thinking, well, Hillary's going to come in. Mm-hmm. They're going to pull another nuclear option on the filibuster, and she's going to nominate some younger
and
more
even
leftist
more radical
person.
Mm-hmm.
Then if the Republicans are saying, let's hurry and confirm Garland, well,
right.
Democrats can obstruct that, and the president could even withdraw the nomination at that point.
Okay.
And I don't think it's likely, because if one side ends up wanting to push and do that, the other side might have reasons for not wanting to, in which case they could stop it.
Okay, so they don't have to cooperate in order for that to take place.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I don't want to say it would never happen, because I guess it could, but I think it's pretty unlikely.
Okay.
And I don't mind, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not faulting you for asking the question, but right now I'm so much more focused on saying we have a choice between two names at the top of the ballot. What type of nominees
mm-hmm.
would they put forward?
Exactly.
And that's where I'm putting all my effort right now.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of groups are putting that effort, because the Supreme Court is hanging in the balance. There's
mm-hmm.
no doubt about that. And
yep.
to me, the future of the country is hanging in the balance when it comes to the Supreme Court, because in reality, the Supreme Court and the courts have been given more power than what the Constitution really allows them to have,
right?
Because we see all this judicial activism. In fact, do you happen to know about what percentage of judges would be considered liberal, where they would view the Constitution as a living document?
I don't. But what I can tell you is that in any typical president's 8-year term, they're going to put about a third of the federal judges on the bench. And so right now, and that holds true for President Obama,
mm-hmm.
presently about a third of the federal judiciary was nominated by Barack Obama.
Okay.
So if Hillary Clinton were to win the election and serve 8 years, then you'd have
two-thirds
of the federal judiciary nominated by Obama and or Clinton.
Ooh.
Now, the remaining third wouldn't even be all George Bush, because you also, some of those people would have still been around from Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm. It would not be pretty.
Yeah,
wow.
Exactly. So it's, and people forget that, you know, the lower courts work on a ton of cases. The U.S. Supreme Court only hears less than 100 cases a year. And so
there's
a lot of influence coming out of these lower courts. They're really important.
Yeah, that's for sure. Wow. Okay, let's move to your state there in Alabama and talk about Supreme Court, the Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore. Back in May, the Judicial Inquiry Commission down in Montgomery filed charges against Judge Moore, which were focused solely on his administrative order issued in January 2016, where he wrote that the 2015 orders of the Alabama Supreme Court remained in effect until the court, argued or came up with a different conclusion. This all
right.
dealt with same-sex marriage is what it dealt with that whole situation.
That's right.
And the Supreme Court Justice Moore did not participate in the 2015 orders that he referred to in the January 2016 order. The date's probably getting this. Probably what I'm saying is all confusing. But basically, he handed down a decision in January saying that what the court decided the year before still stood until the court decided, handed down a different decision. And he himself did not participate in the decision he was referring to. again, dealing with the same-sex marriage issue, the fact that Alabama, I think 81% of their voters voted to define marriage as only between one man and one woman back in, I think, 2006, I think. But anyway, well, how did this all get started, other than the fact they don't like Roy Moore?
Right. So it was in January of 2016 that Chief Justice Moore issued what's an administrative order. And so it's not a case.
Okay.
He didn't hear
okay.
a case and render a decision. It was an administrative order similar to a president that issues an executive order.
Okay.
So the Chief Justice in Alabama has constitutional powers to vote on cases with the rest of the court, but then he also has the authority to issue administrative orders that affect the judicial branch within the state of Alabama. And you think about it, this makes sense. There are, you know, pay raise issues. There are the, you know, use of cars and computers. There are all sorts of things
mm-hmm.
that the Chief Justice and the Administrative Office, of course, work on for the state judiciary. And so if there's something affecting the administration of justice within the state, the Alabama Chief Justice has the authority and the duty to issue one of these administrative orders to give guidance. And so in this case, you had a March of 2015 order from the Alabama Supreme Court, and that was a case that Chief Justice Moore did not participate in for other reasons. But that opinion, March of 2015, said that marriage is between a man and a woman, according to Alabama Constitution and the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you had in June the U.S. Supreme Court in a case not involving the state of Alabama that said that marriage couldn't be restricted to marriage between a man and a woman. We all know that was the Obergefell
right.
decision, which was an absolute mm-hmm. constitutional and jurisprudential disaster.
Yes.
It's a joke of a case.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, that's what they did. Well, immediately after that June 2015 case, the Alabama Supreme Court asked the parties who were part of the March 2015 case, they said to them, hey, send us briefs and tell us how this U.S. Supreme Court decision impacts our prior March decision.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they do that? Well, because even though the U.S. Supreme Court had ruled, it doesn't become automatic law in all of these different cases that are pending in all of the different states. And there are actually states that
we're being
that
told
made
it's the law of the land, though.
What's that?
We're being told it's the law of the land, though.
Well,
which is crazy.
Those are it's not, but even if it were, it's still, even if you assume it's an order that's based on the text of the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and we all know it's not.
Right,
you
exactly.
and I know it's not. Mm-hmm. Gay activist groups know it's not.
Exactly.
It's not based on the text of the Constitution. It's not even based on the views, the intent of the people that wrote and voted for the laws that are being referenced.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it were, it still isn't automatically enforceable in all of these different cases because there's a process that you have to go through, and that is that the court in, let's say, pick a state, Oregon. Well, they have to, if they have a pending case, they have to have briefs come in, and they have to meet in chambers, and they have to say, hey, the Alabama Supreme Court just voted 3 weeks ago. Is this precedent binding? Everybody raises their hand and says, well, of course it is. They issue an opinion from the Oregon Supreme Court. Well,
okay.
The same thing was taking place all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But the Alabama Supreme Court, even though it asked for briefs, they received the briefs back, but they refused to rule.
Okay.
They didn't rule for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months
mm-hmm.
went by. And finally, Chief, you had all these probate judges in the state of Alabama saying, what do we do?
Right, right.
On the one hand, we have an order from the Alabama Supreme Court directly to us telling us don't issue same-sex marriage licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have this ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court that some of them thought applied to them. But the Alabama Supreme Court asked for briefs, presumably because they were going to say something about this and give the probate judges guidance, but they refused to do it for 6 months.
Wow.
So that's why finally Chief Justice Moore issued what some would refer to, what we refer to as really a status report, administrative order.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the probate judges, hey, the Alabama Supreme Court hasn't ruled yet. Until they do, now they're going to apparently at some point, but until they do, you still have an order from the Alabama Supreme Court
okay.
that you have a duty to follow.
Okay, okay.
That's what he did. And so it was that order that they brought him up on ethics charges and said that he commanded the district court or the probate judges to disobey a federal court order.
Even though when you actually read his, you know, read the text of what he mm-hmm. wrote, that's not what it says at all.
I know. But you have this...
activist.
Yeah,
plus, isn't the Southern Poverty... Yeah, Southern Poverty Law Center's involved in this some way, aren't they?
They are.
Okay.
They are. They were the party that filed complaints. And so, you know, it's just really sad. And the thing about it, too, it's such a travesty of justice because... You know, you have someone issue an administrative order.
Mm-hmm.
The Judicial Inquiry Commission doesn't even have jurisdiction to take somebody up on ethics charges for an administrative order because now you have this non-elected body
that can
really
do whatever
getting
it wants.
Into the whole function of the judicial branch and saying, we don't like your opinions, we disagree with your legal rationale, therefore we're going to remove you or suspend you or discipline you.
Oh, wow.
They're not
wow.
allowed to do that, and yet they did it anyway, and of course everybody stands by.
And watches it happen.
It's really sad what our country, with the state that our country's in. And this is just another example where it's not about law, it's not about justice and rules, it's about power, and it's about this radical leftist agenda that,
yeah.
that doesn't care about anything except getting its way.
Getting its way, and the more we see this, I mean, the lawlessness in this country it's just going rampant, as you've said.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we see these radical groups, homosexual activists in this case, and in too many cases, using the courts to get what they want and punishing someone like Roy Moore, who's doing his job and just issuing an update report, basically, and to the probate judges who were, you know, caught between a rock and a hard place.
That's right.
I read recently where in at least 8 counties there in Alabama, probate judges are not issuing marriage licenses to anyone, even as of now.
Mm-hmm.
They've just stopped doing that. And what was it, in September, there was a hearing held, and my understanding is that the prosecution offered no evidence, no proof that Judge Moore had done anything wrong, yet on the 30th of September, he was found guilty.
That's right. Yeah, the trial that we had, I was one of the attorneys defending
mm-hmm.
Chief Justice Moore in the trial, but in the trial, the Judicial Inquiry Commission was there, the prosecutor that was trying to remove him from office. They didn't offer one witness, not one witness. In their case in chief. And, of course, after they failed to do that, we made a motion for a directed verdict, which is to say to the court, hey, they haven't made a case out. They're the ones that have to prove him guilty. They
yeah.
didn't do it. So we win. Well, they denied that and, you know, proceeded to effectively remove him from office, which is a whole nother injustice because they would have had to have had a unanimous the judges would have had to have been unanimous to remove him. In their order, they said they didn't have unanimous votes to remove him, so instead they suspended him for the remainder of his term,
which is
not only
him.
The same thing as removal, it's actually worse than removal.
Oh.
By not having nine votes, they did something worse than removal because he can't run for office again,
mm-hmm.
and the judges know this. They not only did the same thing as removal, which is keeping him from functioning as Chief Justice for the remainder of his term, but he's forfeiting hundreds of thousands of dollars that he would have received had he been removed. Because
wow.
had he been removed, he would have been able to receive his retirement.
So now all that
and
stuff...
And benefits. And so now he's suspended without pay. He's not retired, so he can't collect retirement for the next 2.5 years. And they know this. They absolutely know it. And so it's horrible. The vindictiveness of what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have the votes to remove him, and so they did something even worse than removal without having the votes.
So he's been suspended for the duration of his term, which I think ends in January 2019.
That's right.
And because of his age, he would not be able to run for re-election. Just as a reminder for everyone, this is mm-hmm. the Ten Commandments judge
who was
removed from office, and the people of Alabama... removed from office because he would not remove a Ten Commandments monument from the Supreme Court outside the building, I believe it was. So he was removed from office, and then the people of Alabama turned around and reelected him to the Supreme
That's right.
Court.
That's
and
right.
they won't have the opportunity to do that now because of his age. He will be 70, and he will not be allowed to run for reelection.
That's right.
So after 2.5 years, he receives no pay, and it has been appealed. The verdict has been appealed, but it has been appealed to whom?
Oh.
To the same people?
Diane, I'm laughing because it's just one thing after another. One thing,
wow.
I mean, it's been appealed. The acting Chief Justice, who's very hostile to Chief mm. Justice Moore, who we asked her to recuse herself from the case, and... from picking the replacement justices ruled that she will recuse herself, but not before she sets the process in place to select the replacement justices.
Oh, my goodness. So she will have a
It's one thing after another. The justices that she's selecting, or she's developing a list of only retired judges. Why? Well,
they're not accountable.
Because she doesn't want judges that have to run in the Republican primary that are accountable to the voters to be responsible for deciding this case. She wants some that are unaccountable. And that's where we are.
One thing is she's accountable, though, because she'll
she
be
is,
running.
And that's a good thing. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
hope the people, I'm sure the people of Alabama will be reminded of this tragedy. It's just tragic what they've done, because their intention is to make an example of Judge Roy Moore. The homosexual activists and Southern Poverty Law Center are behind this, and they want to make an example of him, as this is what happens to anyone who opposes same-sex so-called marriage.
Right.
That's the way I interpret the whole thing. In addition, the acting Chief Justice, Lynn Stewart, is her name. She sent a letter to Judge Moore demanding that he remove all of his personal effects from his desk while under the watchful eyes of a marshal, and that he is to turn in his keys, of which he's not done any of that. You know, to me, by her doing that, she has already concluded that the appeal will fail. She's handed down her verdict in this
letter. Well, and not only that, but if he's not removed, he's only suspended.
That's true, yeah.
You know, so it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at every turn... We see this, and to me, I've seen it before, Diane, mm-hmm. and so I refuse to be discouraged. But it's very sad to me that this is the type of corruption that we deal with. And
is Alabama especially corrupt, or is it? I mean, especially in this type of situation.
Yeah.
I mean, every state, all 50 states, there's corruption in every state. There's no doubt in my mind. All 50 states and the U.S. protectorates, they're all corrupt. There's corruption in all of them. But Alabama, especially with this case, and maybe it just is because of this case and who's behind it, that it really just reeks of corruption.
I can just speak to this case. Obviously, comparing it to other states, I don't know, and even the state at large.
Well, let me put it like this.
Know what's happening here, and it's just very offensive, and it's very sad to me.
Yeah. Well, I'll just throw this out.
They're not fooling me. They're not fooling the chief. Yeah. And they're really not fooling a lot of people. There are even liberals who do not like Chief Justice Moore that are beginning to say, this really stinks.
Wow.
I mean, I'm serious. They're writing pieces about it that they don't like Chief Justice Moore, but this is not fair.
It's an injustice.
So it's becoming very obvious how crooked it is.
Well, very good. Well, just a little bit about Pennsylvania corruption. Our attorney general, the first Democrat and the first woman ever to be elected as attorney general here in PA, is headed to jail. She resigned in August or September, and
so
she
you guys
just
had that distinction.
Yeah, we had that distinction. Yeah, she's headed to jail.
Oh boy,
was for sure. So I know we put out an alert about Lynn Stewart, acting Chief Justice Lynn Stewart, asking folks to contact her office. You know, just express their concern about her letter to Chief Justice Moore. So I'm going to give out her phone number here and encourage your listeners to contact her and just, just express their dismay of what they've seen in her treatment of Judge Moore. And her number is 334-229-0700. That's 334-229-0700. And that's the number to Acting Chief Justice Lynn Stewart's office. And is there anything else that we can do in that, the case there?
Nothing comes to mind. And I know this is, we're all going to, quote, vote. But I just think it's really important that people be motivated and that they vote. Everybody. I mean, your state has some important races, too. And I'm not going to tell people how to vote, but...
Vote.
It's just so important.
Yeah.
It's so important, especially with the potential for fraud. That shouldn't discourage us. It ought to fire us up and make us that much more determined that, by golly, we're going to get to the polls and we're going to vote and make sure our voice is heard.
Absolutely.
Hopefully it'll be counted, but let's make sure we get there and vote.
Yeah, for sure. How can folks contact the Judicial Action Group if they have any questions or anything?
Sure. I would say just go to our website. It's judicialactiongroup.com, just like it sounds.
Okay.
And they can see what's going on there. And, of course, drop us an email through the website if
okay.
we can do anything for them.
So that's judicialactiongroup.com?
That's it.
The website? Okay.
That's it. Well, and one thing I'll mention, if I may, Diane, mm-hmm. we're putting up a lot of research right now about Supreme Court justices. Of course, Trump has 21 names that
right.
he's put out, and there's been a lot of research on those. But you haven't seen much research at all about names that Hillary Clinton would nominate, and that's because she has not published
mm-hmm.
a short list. And
yeah.
so we've done our own research. We've looked at people that are close to the Clinton camp and what they're saying, and we're coming up with some names that we think are potential shortlisters and doing research and sharing that information with people. That's on our website as well, and I think it's pretty helpful.
Okay. I'll have to look that up and put a link to that from our website
sure.
then. Well, I really appreciate your insight and appreciate your helping
sure.
clarifying all that's going on down there with Chief Justice Moore and such as that, because it's just tragic.
Yeah.
Beyond tragic.
Yeah.
I can't think of any more. Yep.
I know.
Okay. Well, you take care of yourself.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate you keeping up with it and letting your folks know. Thanks a ton, Diane.
Okay, you take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.